Oh, welcome to another episode of the End Zone Podcast. As you can tell, it's co-host Trajan Watkins here on the mic tonight, leading the way with Eric gone tonight because he's going on vacation soon. So much needed break for him, you know, so he can stop torturing himself watching the Broncos each and every week. So it's me on the mic tonight, leading the way. I brought a special guest on here tonight, real special guest that I respect a lot because of his work that he's done over the years. He's a Titans writer, or covers the Titans, covers the Nashville Predators, Vanderbilt, and the University of Tennessee, Knoxville for The Athletic. He's also a sports columnist for the website there, Mr. Joe Rexroad. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm good, Trajan. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me. How are you? I haven't seen you in a while, man.
Yeah, it's good to see you, too. Yeah, I haven't seen you one in a couple years, maybe. What was it, 2019 that we last talked to each other? But yeah,
2019 feels like a decade ago, you know?
It sure does, man. It sure does with everything going on. Good gosh, man. But I'm really glad that you came on here to preview the general week 7 NFL slate. Excuse me, not week 7, week 8. Jeez. Season's flying by way too fast for me. But yeah, week 8 slate for the NFL week 8 slate. Without further ado, let's really jump right into this. We'll start off with the Thursday night game, Packers-Cardinals. With full healthy bodies for each team, this would have been an intriguing game, but that's not the case. Packers are going to be without their top two wide receivers, Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, due to COVID reasons. The Cardinals will be without J.J. Watt. And DeAndre Hopkins just popped up on the injury report today with a hamstring injury. So both teams could be shorthanded tomorrow night. And, you know, during a game that most would consider maybe one of the biggest games on the calendar this year, just because of how good both of these teams are. Cardinals coming to the game at 7-0, Packers 6-1. Joe, if I could ask you, what's your general feeling around the Cardinals? They have this undefeated start. Do you think they're for real? And if you've, you know, had the chance to look over the Cardinals and their performance this year, what area on both sides of the ball has really stood out to you?
Yeah, Trey. Well, yeah, that's one thing. You know, you're focused mostly on the Titans when they come in here, you know, in the opening week. And my gosh, what's wrong with Taylor Lewan? What's wrong with, you know, this offensive lineman, that offensive lineman, this whole team? You're like, man, that was ugly. You know, all this anticipation and you perform like that. But I did have, you know, an inkling like, boy, that Cardinals team could be pretty good. You know, Watt has been a nice addition. I just really like their speed on defense, you know, like the linebacker spot. I like the Zaven Collins pick. I just feel like, and obviously Chandler Jones, you know, it was 2 years ago. He had a monster year. People forget. And it just seems like it's kind of come together for them. You know, Buda Baker's a really good player. I mean, they've got, you know, they've got a pretty good defense. And then I just think Kyler Murray has kind of come of age. And that's, I just wasn't sure about that. And of course, you know, you got to see it play out through the season. Is that going to continue? But I love the Rondale Moore pick. I know he hasn't had big numbers yet, but I like how he fits into that offense. James Conner, I just, you know, they're just an all around solid team that obviously has got a knack for winning right now. I mean, shoot, they should have lost a game to Minnesota.
Yeah.
On a botched field goal. But, you know, that win over the Rams, man, that was awfully impressive, awfully convincing. I do think they're for real. You know, I don't know that I like them to ultimately win the AFC – or, I'm sorry, the NFC. But, I mean, I think that they're going to be right there, you know, and that's going to be just a heck of a race between them and the Rams in the West. And, of course, they've got one more game against the Rams coming up.
Yeah, and I was – me and my co-host Eric, we talk about the Cardinals, you know, generally, you know, maybe each week, because they're, you know, they're undefeated and they're one of the biggest, you know, stories around the league. And you alluded to it, their speed on defense is really impressive. Zaven Collins, you know, obviously you have mentioned him, and I think the whole Isaiah Simmons situation has sort of panned out a little bit this year. Cardinal staff sort of had some issues trying to, you know, find out where to play him, safety, outside linebacker, maybe inside linebacker. But I think they sort of stuck him, you know, as a high flying, speedy sort of outside linebacker, which really suits his skills very well. Which, you know, that only adds another element of speed and physicality and playmaking to a, you know, already young but impressive and really talented linebacker core. So I'm really, you know, impressed by what they've done at the linebacker spot. I want to ask you about the Cardinals offense briefly. You know, what's really stood out to you aside maybe from Kyler Murray, you know, being Kyler Murray?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's not like they run the ball great, mm-hmm. but, you know, they do it enough to keep teams honest. And, I mean, I just feel like, you know, those three receivers in particular, you know, Hopkins and Kirk, I mean, we saw Kirk, of course, come in here, and they really isolated some matchups. You know, they saw a rookie slot corner. And, you know, they had some stuff devised to take advantage of that matchup. But, you know, people never talk about him. But, you know, he's a explosive player too. You know, Chase Edmonds has also been a nice, you know, compliment. They got a nice two-back thing going on. I mean, and then, again, another guy that we don't talk about, but – and you kind of move on from him, and he's not one of the elite guys. But, I mean, shoot, A.J. Green's got – I mean, they got three receivers with 400-plus yards, including A.J. Green. Yeah. And he's averaging 17 a catch. So, I just, you know, nice depth. Again, I think Rondale Moore is going to be – you know, he's got, what, 26 catches now, 300 yards. You know, they got a solid tight end in Max Williams. Now they pick up Zach Ertz. I mean, geez, you know, that's that's a nice pickup for that team. So – I feel like that was a great move to kind of load up when you look at how you're playing and say, hey, what else could you use? It's an array of weapons, and, you know, he's getting the ball out quickly and accurately. And I mean, you're talking about, you know, 73.5% got, you know, nine yards per attempt. I mean, it's some ridiculous numbers for Kyler. So I just, the whole offense is really impressive.
Yeah, it sure is. And it's sort of weird to, you know, talk about how consistent their offense has been after all the troubles that Cliff Kingsbury had last year, trying to really sort of still trying to find his way, you know, maybe as a play caller, you know, maybe in that sort of fashion. He had some struggles last year in that aspect, but he's found the balance this year, and it's really panned out really impressive from Kyler Murray and the rest of the offense. I want to switch gears to the Packers briefly because I know we don't have a lot of time to, you know, go deep into every single team and every single matchup, but briefly on the Packers, what are you expecting out of that offense tomorrow night with all the offensive weapons? You know, Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, both are out, and even, you know, the injuries on the defensive side of the ball. What are you expecting out of the Packers tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, what is Randall Cobb? Wide receiver one, is that what we're looking at here?
I mean, you just might be right.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's wild, that whole thing. And, you know, honestly, I don't feel like the Packers have been great a lot yet. Mm-hmm. You know, it hasn't been beautiful. And now you create this situation. It's too bad, because I agree with you. This would be, if you had both these teams, you know, at full capacity, I think you'd have a one of the really great matchups early season that we have seen, but it's not going to be that. I mean, I just feel like, you know, they're going to need to run the ball. They're going to have to, I think, lean on that. To some extent, you know, Jones and Dillon, and you know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is gonna put the ball on people, and you know, you're talking about, so let's see, who's he gonna have out there? He's gonna have Randall Cobb.
Yep.
He's gonna have, you know, well, he'll have Robert Tonyan, right? Yeah.
I think they'll have Valdez Scantling as well.
And Valdez Scantling is gonna play, so, you know, I mean, they'll cobble it together. But honestly, they just haven't been as when I've watched them, you know, mm-hmm. their offenses, and I think some of it is up front, but it just hasn't yep. been as smooth as I would have expected.
Yeah, I can generally agree with you on that. Maybe when they get some of their injured guys that start up front, maybe that offense can start to click a little, you know, especially David Bakhtiari. He's was activated off IR, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. So he should be back to playing sooner or later. Joe, do you have a game pick for this?
I mean, I think I'm going to have to I think I would have to go with the Cardinals. You know, I think I might have picked that anyway. But,
yeah,
Cardinals, something like, 27-24 or something like that.
Yeah, I can generally agree with you on that. I think I'll take Cardinals 27, Packers 17, something in that range. Don't really have a good handle on how this game is going to go. But I think it'll be a good game regardless. So I can't wait to watch that. I want to move on to the Monday night game, which is Giants-Chiefs. And, Joe, we saw the issues that the Chiefs have on both sides of the ball really be magnified on Sunday when they got throttled by the Titans by a score of 27-3. And just asking you this, how do you – if you were Andy Reid right now, what would you do to sort of reverse course and try to salvage something out of this season for Kansas City?
Well, look, there's a long way to go, but it's also a very competitive AFC, and, you know, you got the Raiders are still playing well. They've played better since Gruden left, and, you know, it's going to be – I mean, they've got to get it going here. It's interesting because before the Titans game, again, you're talking about a team averaging 31 points a game, yep. You know, a team that was second in the league in passing yards. Looked like the Chiefs just some bad turnovers. I mean, they had the turnovers, mm-hmm. they had a turnover bug, but you're like, okay, well, you know, here and there, Patrick Mahomes. I think the Brett Favre comparison, I thought about that early in his career, just with some of the creative passes he would try. But yeah, he takes some chances too. He always has. He just, mm-hmm. in some years, it just hasn't mattered. I mean, like, it always works, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, some of it is just cleaning up the turnovers. But, you know, the offensive line's got to get better. And ultimately, I just don't have a ton of faith in that defense being much better than, like, I don't know, slightly below average. Like, that might be the ceiling. Like, it just – I don't – you know, I don't like their corners. And I – you know, I feel like, you know, Chris Jones obviously is banged up a lot. Now, if he can get it going and get healthy and really start being the kind of presence that he's been in the past for them – maybe play inside more and stuff. I mean, you know, maybe that would help. I mean, I should help, but I think ultimately, you know, that offense is going to, I still think the ingredients are there for an elite offense. Orlando Brown had a rough day. Trey Smith had a rough day. Mike Remmers is not very good. So there's some limitations, but I also think that between Reed and Mahomes, they can, you know, I think they can be creative, play around that a little bit too, you know, but you also have to find, like, who is that third guy? Like, is Josh Gordon gonna emerge and actually be like a third guy? Like, you know, they don't, I mean, I kind of question the idea that you could take Hill and Kelsey out anyway, but teams have kind of done that. The Titans mm-hmm. did a good job. You know, they're in zone most of the day, but they were certainly around Tyreek Hill a lot. And when he did things, he had to do things, you know, he had to do quick hitter stuff. And, man, they were physical with Kelsey off the line, really physical, you know. Mm-hmm. So
sure were.
But you know, it was a great performance by the Titans, and also their offense makes it 24-0 almost instantly. And, and you know, it's sort of like that also probably increases Mahomes just risk taking and just kind of decreases the patience a little bit. I'm still skeptical that we're seeing like this team on its way to like an 8-9 season. You know, I feel like the offense still has what it needs to get it revving here, and they're going to have to win shootouts, which is what I thought we were going to see Sunday, and didn't see anything close to it.
Yeah, and I think that was the general feeling for all of us. We sort of really expected a shootout. You know? Kansas City's defense is bad. Titans are missing. We're missing a bunch of corners. It just felt like a shootout, but Titans defense did the unpredictable and kept the Chiefs, an explosive Chiefs offense at bay, so hats off to them. Briefly on the Giants, because I know both of us don't want to spend too much time with the New York Giants. Where do they go? I mean, they have, a lot of their offensive talent has been hurt. But even when they've been healthy, it just hasn't really looked all that good. So where do the Giants go? What do they do to take that first step to go from being maybe in the cellar of the league to being a respectable team around the league?
Well, I think one, I guess, and I don't know what percentage of the Giants fan base thinks this, but I think it's, is Daniel Jones the guy? I mean, I think you do have to figure that out. Look, it's not like he has terrible numbers. I think at times he looks good. Certainly, he's a heck of a running threat. I just don't know if that's the guy that's going to lead you where you want to go. But it's hard because in this league, the quarterbacks get the instant opportunity, and then they are given up on so quickly.
Sure.
I mean, you look at Tua now, and you look at some of them. I mean, I think Darnold's kind of showing maybe that there's a reason for that with him. I mean, some of it makes sense, but I do I still think Tua. I'm not convinced Tua can't be a good player. But I think the Dolphins are out on him. I don't know about Daniel Jones. But that's what they have to decide, right? This is not a good team. They're going to be a not very good team. Are they going to be bad enough to be real high in the draft? I don't know. But you got to figure out. This is a year that, to me, that's what you're doing is you're figuring out, are we building around this guy and we're drafting, an edge rusher or something? Or is it time to be the second New York team to quickly give up on a quarterback and look for the next one?
Yeah, and you hit it really right on the nail with Daniel Jones. And also, teams giving up on young quarterbacks too early. Tua is probably the best example of that. I don't think Tua is necessarily elite or, maybe even great, but I don't think he's necessarily terrible. And I don't think he's been done any favors by the Dolphins, either way, the offensive line has gotten him battered through the first 2 years of his career. Most recently, I believe it's the second game of the season where he got absolutely crushed and got a rib injury. He was out for 3-4 weeks. So maybe the Dolphins just aren't the right spot for him to, develop necessarily, because the Dolphins, Dolphins sit at 1-6. The defense looks bad. The GM up there is starting to get some calls for him to be removed. Brian Flores doing, the same with Brian Flores. There are rumors about the Dolphins trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. It's just a weird situation for two up there. So, just going back to the Giants, I think there has to be some sort of question about, do the Giants think Dave Gettleman is the right guy to lead this team, moving forward, roster wise and everything, because, he's signed some decent talent. He's drafted some decent talent. That's for sure. But he's starting to get, some concerns about his offensive line, personnel decisions. And, it just hasn't really been all that good of a vibe up there with Dave Gettleman in New York with the Giants. So, it's a weird, weird situation for the Giants. It's one that's probably going to be monitored just because they're a big market team, but especially because they have talent. They have talent. They just insert some more, correct pieces here and there. I think they're a competitive team. Giants.
Yeah, and Oh, sorry. No, I agree. And he may well not get to, if they are doing another quarterback, might be a new GM who's making that choice. So
yeah, and that's tough because the quarterback class isn't all that good in 2022.
Right.
You have some decent guys. Maybe Carson Strong's one, Malik Willis. Spencer Rattler was supposed to be a top guy, but he hasn't played well this year at Oklahoma. He even got benched. So it's a really, really weird situation for teams that need young quarterbacks, but specifically the Giants, because they really might need one, and they might need one fast because they have a roster that could be competitive if they just add the right pieces here and there. So really weird situation with the Giants moving forward. Joe, I know the game pick here is probably obvious. But you can just go ahead and tell us your game pick and we can move on.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe this is the Monday night game we're getting, man. I think the Chiefs, you know, have a little vengeance behind their game and they're something like 34-14.
Yeah, I can.
Definitely. Well, you know what, though? They're going to get more points than that. How about 34-21? Yeah.
I was gonna push 40 on here. I was gonna push maybe 40-21, something like that.
There you go.
Chiefs need a dominating win to get, you know, everybody off their back and maybe let everybody stop doubting them as a force of the AFC moving forward. So we'll see. We both have the Chiefs winning big. I want to move on to the Sunday night game. This is probably the second best game on the schedule, maybe behind Packers Cardinals. We have the Cowboys and the Vikings. I think this is a really underrated matchup here because the both offenses, Dallas and Minnesota, can chug out yards and points. But the deal with the Vikings is that their defense can sometimes get, you know, put in a little bit of a underwhelming performance, and Dallas is dealing with some injuries on the defensive side as well, particularly along the defensive line. DeMarcus Lawrence is not in there. I believe DeMarcus Lawrence is not in there, but they've improved defensively, so maybe it's not all that bad. Joe, I want to save the Cowboys for last, but maybe about the Vikings. The Vikings have been a little bit of a weird sort of team. They have this good offense, but they've lost three games, and, you know, all those losses, they've been in good positions to win. So I want your take on the Vikings and maybe gouge your interest level in the team as a potential playoff contender if they can start closing out some of these games and start putting some wins together.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, I didn't get to see much of it, but I still can't wrap my mind around losing 14-7 at home to the Browns, or really lucking out to beat the Lions. Like, so they looked really bad some weeks, but then they go to Arizona and that offense is rolling and they should win. And Kirk Cousins puts them into position to win. And, you know, Greg Joseph, former Titans kicker, misses, and tough one to the Bengals. I mean, last week I actually saw a fair amount of that game, and I mean, the offense looked great. You know, I mean, I think it's – you get everything working with that offense. Really, Cousins is playing – I mean, Cousins kind of carried him in that game. He was great. And, you know, obviously, Dalvin Cook's been banged up. But you get him going and, you know, you get Jefferson and Thielen and everything going. I mean, it's a really good offense. But you're – like you said, I mean, they just haven't been able to put it together. You know, the defense is – it's, you know, it's taken a step or two back from a couple of years ago, right? So, but I do think that they are, if you look at the NFC, it's sort of like that top tier is like pretty clear now, you know, who's going to be in there. I do look at the Vikings as a team, you know, with potential to make a run and try to get in there, sneak into the playoffs. I mean, basically, you know, you got the Saints. I mean, you look what's happened in the West, you know, Seattle losing Russ now, and the Niners are, you know, I mean, there's opportunity, you know, for someone like Minnesota to sneak in there. So, I think they got a chance, but I think they also might end up about a game or two short and really kick themselves over some of those games. And I mean, they've got Cowboys, Ravens, Chargers, Packers in their next four. My goodness. So, you know, if they can split those, I like their chances.
Yeah.
Down the stretch. But that's easier said than done.
Yeah, 100%. And that four-game schedule you just mentioned made my, you know, all my confidence about them potentially being a playoff contender just drop down to zero. Geez, I don't know how they find a way to split that. You know, like they said, if they split that somehow, find a way, miracle-wise, then, yeah, you're right. They're sitting pretty, but gosh, I don't know how they split that. But moving on to Dallas, what are they, 5-1, I believe, leading the NFC East. Dak looks really good, and the running game looks rejuvenated. Offensive line looks good, and the defense looks respectable, maybe. What are your thoughts on the Cowboys and how they've, you know, generally maybe improved, you know, compared to last season, aside from, you know, the injury situation not being as bad as it was last year?
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly that's a big part of it. But I just feel like Dak is coming to his own too. And it's just, and I like what they put around him for sure. But I just think he's growing into one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And I wasn't sure we were going to see that, you know, this year. But I think that's what we're seeing. You're also seeing, you know, just a ridiculous receiving core for the Cowboys. You know, Zeke early, I was like, gosh, is he losing a step? But, you know, he's been good. And obviously they've got a nice two back thing going too with Pollard there, which I like. I mean, Lamb, Cooper, I mean, you know, you can bring Gallup in there, and he's been banged up obviously, but like that guy can really go vertical for you and make some plays. And you know, you got Dalton Schultz at tight. I mean, they're loaded. And then defensively, I mean, I feel like Dan Quinn was a really good hire. You know, there's a great example of, you know, head coach doesn't work out, he could be someone's really good coordinator. And that's what he is. And, you know, they've gotten better there. So I'm still like I still have some skepticism with the Cowboys. Like I keep saying, okay, show me again. But, I mean, I'm drifting toward, like, I think that they're going to be there. I mean, that was a really good win at the Chargers. I mean, they haven't played anybody too great since then. They were in a good game with New England, which I actually think could potentially get in the playoff picture in the AFC still.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like there's still some to prove. If they get through this game, they're kind of the opposite. They, you know, you got Denver and Atlanta, and they could really be in great shape before they head out to Kansas City. So, but yeah, I mean, to me, if there's one thing, even though I know the defense is improved and everything, I mean, to me, it's Dak. Dak's playing like Dak's in that MVP discussion right now.
Yeah, most definitely. And you say they haven't played anybody, which kind of sucks because I was actually sort of maybe expecting that division to have some sort of competition, you know, for Dallas, at least Ron Rivera's team. But that obviously hasn't panned out. You know, their offense, you know, hasn't really been all that great in their defense, specifically that secondary. It's been bad. But let's just move on to game picks now so we can move on to the last couple games in our slate. Joe, what's your game pick for this game?
You know, I'm gonna throw a little shocker in there. I think Minnesota at home, Halloween. You got people in their, you know, in their Halloween outfits going wild and Minneapolis. I'm going to go 31-30 Vikings.
See, that's actually a pretty nice score. So I was thinking along the lines of a close game. I'll still pick Dallas here because I still believe in that offense and what they can do. So I'll pick the Cowboys here, but I won't be surprised if the Vikings win it all because the factors that you mentioned, you know, them at home, it's on Halloween, crowd might be more rambunctious than usual. It certainly has the ingredients for a pretty nice Vikings upset on Sunday night. So looking forward to that game. Let's see, how much time do we have left here? I'm going to choose maybe one game out of the other slate or the slate that we have. Just looking through here. You know what? Let's go Steelers-Browns. I had the option of Buccaneers Saints, but I'm not too fond of the Saints right now, so we'll spend time away from them right now. Steelers Browns, we know the story with the Browns. Baker Mayfield torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. It's clearly hampering him. Injuries as a whole are hampering the entire Browns team, offensively and defensively. Odell Beckham Jr. is dealing with a shoulder injury. Nick Chubb, calf injury. Kareem Hunt, calf injury. A lot of their defensive, you know, secondary defense line dealing with injuries. Just a mess for Cleveland right now. So, Joe, if you had to, you know, right now, if you had to say, or if you just looked over the Browns' entire roster right now, starting 11 on both sides of the ball, everybody's healthy, where do you put the Browns in the pecking order? Because they look good in week one against Kansas City, but now we're 7 weeks into the season, and maybe that effort looks a little bit, I don't know, maybe sort of overrated at this point. So what do you make of the Browns? And, you know, do you think they can make some noise as the season goes on as a playoff contender, maybe even push for the division title? Because it's still within reach for them.
Well, look, I'm a big believer in their roster. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, hey, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney here in Nashville, very disappointing last year. It looks like he's healthier, a lot more effective out there mm-hmm. for them. I think the roster, I mean, again, they've had a lot of injuries and stuff, but like the backs, the receivers, the both lines of scrimmage. I mean, I like the Newsome pick. That's who the Titans should have picked.
Yep.
Man, I like it a lot. I think, I mean, that was my pick to win the division, and I still think it's a playoff team, but what's up with Baker's whole shoulder thing, you know? I mean, because he's just at times been just bad, and I have to think that it's a lot about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's it to me. That's the caveat for me. Like if he can, you know, get right and not have to have season ending surgery or whatever, or not have to deal with that and just be really limited because of it all year, then I think that is a playoff team and a dangerous playoff team. But you know, and I will say, like, I thought Case Keenum looked okay against the Broncos. You could do way worse than Case Keenum as your number two quarterback. And it's not, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that he could game manage his way to enough wins if it came to that. But, you know, they're not a legit threat unless they get close to, you know, at least 85-90% Baker.
Yeah, certainly agree with you on that. And I just don't think we're going to see the full ceiling of this Browns team this year, because a torn labrum, you know, let alone your throwing shoulder, you know, and excuse me, let alone your non-throwing shoulder, but your throwing shoulder, that takes, you know, time to heal and time to get rid of the pain. So he's lucky it's not in his throwing shoulder, because he would have certainly been shut down by now. But it's the non-throwing shoulder that's still giving him pain, still not allowing him to play up to his standards. So I just don't think we're going to see the ceiling of this Browns team this year. And it's a shame, because that roster is loaded, you know, it's, you know, absolutely loaded, full of talent, youth, veteran experience. So it's a shame for the Browns. Quickly on the Steelers, Joe. Thoughts on the Steelers? I mean, the defense is still good. What's your thoughts on the Steelers right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's – they're okay. I don't think that they're – and it's just so weird to mm-hmm. say, because even 2 years ago, when Roethlisberger's out, they find a way to be right there, you know, mm-hmm. Which I thought was an incredible job by Mike Tomlin. And it's just a testament to, like, you know, that – their toughness, consistency. I mean, it's really incredible how they've sort of had the same identity, you know, for decades, you know, mm-hmm. but I just think Roethlisberger is just, you know, he looks much more his age than a lot of other guys who play that position who are up there, you know, and you know, you know, I think Juju Smith-Schuster is just – he's a great two, you know. I do love the Najee Harris pick, and I think at times he's looked just outstanding. But, you know, you're still talking about a guy averaging 3.8 a carry, and they're just they're just not dynamic enough. I mean, Claypool's had a pretty good year, and, you know, they got some pretty good receivers. But, I don't know, man. I'm never going to discount anything because they're still solid on D. And mm-hmm. I do think they have enough pieces that, it, like, if Roethlisberger can get hot, like, you know, it's still possible that they could make some noise. They also, though, like, it's just in that division, you have no breaks now, you know? You really don't have breaks now that the Bengals are what they are, what they appear to be. So I just don't know. I just think it's – I mean, there's another franchise to me that it's just got to start thinking, like, who is the next guy under center?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we mentioned with the Giants, 2022 is a real bad year for teams looking for young quarterbacks that they look, you know, to build around, you know, moving forward. Maybe that's not the case, you know, as we look back on this maybe 3-4 years, but as of right now, it just looks like a real bad year for teams to invest in a young rookie quarterback to build around for the future. So,
yeah,
it's a weird situation for the Steelers. You know, I said that about the Giants, but for the Steelers, it's a weird situation. Their defense is good, lots of talent there. Wide receivers on offense are good, like you said. Even with Juju Smith-Schuster out for the year, you know, you still have Deontay Johnson, you still have Chase Claypool, of course, and Najee Harris. I'm a big fan of Najee Harris as well, but. It just sucks that he's having to run behind that really bad Steelers offensive line. So Steelers are just a weird team to judge right now. Do you have a game pick for this game, Joe?
How about another nice 17-14 AFC North special for the Browns? Yes.
Jeez, man. You just turned me off of that game. it depends on how Baker Mayfield is pain wise, but I'll still take the Browns maybe 20-17. I know Eric's going to be mad at me for this when he listens to this tomorrow, but we're going to briefly, you know, just touch on the Broncos game. If you could describe the Broncos in maybe two words right now, what would they be?
Two words for the Broncos. Total frauds.
Jeez, maybe. I mean, maybe. It's just the quarterback situation is bad. Jeez.
That's the thing. Like, I actually like a lot of their team, but yeah. I mean, you know, they haven't been able to figure that out.
Yeah.
And when I say that, when they were 3-0, I was like, I don't know that I've ever seen a more fortuitous 3-game start to a season for a team than Giants, Jaguars, Jets. Like, just an amazing way to start a season. And I was like, we're about to find out, like, these guys are not that good. And I think we found it out. But again, like, I'm like, their roster isn't bad at all.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And especially, you know, their defensive side of the ball is nice. You know, it sucks that they've been, you know, completely destroyed by injuries at the inside linebacker position. I believe I saw something that they have, like, maybe upwards of 7-8 injured linebackers up to this point, which is – that's unheard of. That's really unheard of, even for an injury, you know, riddled team. 7-8 linebackers, that's just not possible to really predict. So – plus the corner situation, Kyle Fuller hasn't really panned out. Patrick Surtain has looked decent, though, so I'll give him that. Offensively, though, it's just – there's just really no balance. I mean, the passing game looks bad. The running game is ass. So, I don't really – it's – you know, my co-host, he's really, you know, displayed his dismay with the Broncos. he's sick and tired of watching them. You know, each and every week, because he knows what he's going to get each and every week, which is kind of sad. So I know Eric is going to be listening to this tomorrow. So I'll give him one last little, you know, message of support. Keep watching. You know, it gets better. Maybe, maybe not. Just have to keep watching to find out. two words about the Washington football team.
Two words about the Washington football team. I mean, I guess I like bad owner, you know, like
well, obviously.
or, you know, boring football would be another I might go with. Just man, they're just boy, you know, and what are you gonna do? You know, you you know, I kind of thought this team could be interesting, but you know, you got Taylor Heinicke in there, and you know, you got some limitations. You know, I thought maybe Fitzmagic might, you know, like it might be finally grabbing hold of an opportunity, and you know, bad luck for him. And but they're just they're still pretty pedestrian on offense. You know, I mean, like Terry McLaurin is a heck of a player, but pretty limited. And you know, their defense is just, I thought it might be better than it has been too. They've got some great pieces.
Yeah, and what's really disappointing me the most is about that secondary. They had so many young pieces in that secondary last year that showed some promise, but virtually almost all of them have fallen off the face of the earth this year. It's really made that defense just turn into a shell of itself compared to last year, which is disappointing because I was, you know, sort of rooting for them because I love the makeup of that team. So, but it is what it is, and we'll see if they can turn it around as the season goes on. Quick game pick for this, Joe, and we can move on to the final game on tap.
Let's see. Well, this is a tough one, actually. I'll go Denver. I think Denver gets off the schneid 20-17.
I think I'll go opposite here. I'll go Washington football team. 17-13. I think this is a perfect game for Washington's defense to really get on track and start getting some confidence moving forward. So I'll go Washington football team. Final game on tap, Joe. Titans, Colts, team you and I both know the most of. Titans 5-2, coming off a dominating win against the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Colts coming off a really sort of sluggish but somewhat impressive win on the road against the San Francisco 49ers. You know, really rainy, muddy, disgusting Sunday night football game. So, Joe, I'll start with the Colts first. What do you make of the Colts? I mean, they have some talent, of course. But, you know, offensively, Carson Wentz, you know, the jury's still out on him. Jonathan Taylor's obviously a real threat in the run game, even in the receiving game. He has hands as well, but the wide receiver spot has been riddled by injuries. T.Y. Hilton, you know, came off IR, I believe, and got hurt once again, I believe, with a quad injury. So I'm fortunate for him. Paris Campbell might be out for the year. Defensively, you know, Xavier Rhodes has been dealing with injuries. Rocky Asanda is dealing with an injury right now. I mean, what do you think of the Colts right now? Because even maybe when they are healthy, they've stayed competitive with the Seahawks, stay competitive with the Rams. Just what do you make of the Colts right now?
Yeah, well, look, I was impressed with them. I was really impressed with them in that game at San Fran. You know, a game San Fran really needed at home, and it was a grinder in nasty weather. I like their roster. They got a healthy offensive line now. I love Jonathan Taylor. And you're talking about the number two rusher in the league. You know, he's maybe 300 behind Henry, but he's number two. Hines is just a nice weapon. Pittman's starting to come into his own, but you know, Julian Blackman tearing his Achilles. That's tough for them. Is a big loss. Look, I like him up front. I feel like Darius Leonard kind of started the season slow, but he looks like Darius Leonard again. I still think they're a team that can make a run for the playoffs. I mean, it comes down to Wentz. He's moving now. He's moving around. Can he get it going through the air? Can they have a nice balanced offense? Can he clean up the ridiculous weird turnovers? If so, I still think that they're solid enough on defense to be in most games, if not every game. And they've had a terribly difficult early schedule, but it does, you know, they've got some better stretches coming. So I'm not totally out on them. But, you know, I think it's the same thing that you said about him going in, like, okay, what is Carson Wentz? And I still don't know that for sure. I do think there's some encouraging signs of late.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you said, you mentioned that you think they're a team that can still make a run for the playoffs, and I tend to agree with that. I'm not really familiar with the rest of their schedule, but they have the talent, and it seems like they're putting it all together with injuries starting to lighten up, you know, aside from Julian Blackman, which was, you know, like you said, a real big blow for them. So we'll see how it goes for the Colts. I am a little bit intrigued by that, by their running game, you know, as always, you know, because Jonathan Taylor is an absolute monster. Just keeps carrying on in his offense each and every week, so it's real fun to watch him. The Titans, I mean, I think what we can say about the Titans is that good defensive front, secondary still riddled with injuries, still waiting to get some guys back, Christian Fulton, Monty Hooker, you know, those are the two main names. And offensively, they're starting to find a little bit more balance in a consistent manner from Ryan Taylor in the passing game, and of course, Derrick Henry shredding the league, you know, shredding any opponent that stands in his path. So, Joe, we've watched the Titans develop as a team, you know, over the first seven games of the year, had some problems with injuries and even some performance-related issues, you know, before they knocked off the Bills at home and the Chiefs at home just this past Sunday. So moving forward, if you're really, you know, trying to look at one thing, you know, Titans-related, what are you really looking for to stand out, not only in this game against the Colts, but moving forward as the season moves along?
Well, I mean, I'm very curious to see if this pass rush is what they're going to have. I mean, the difference maker to me was Bud Dupree. Danico Autry's been really good all year. Jeffrey Simmons, you know, he makes an impact, and he is a guy who's often the choice to be double teamed. Harold Landry's been outstanding. I mean, 7.5 sacks. He's all over the place. You put Bud Dupree the way he looked the other day on the other side from Landry, and with those two guys inside, that's intriguing. Now, it looked dominant in that game. Is that what they're going to be? I don't know, but I start there. But also, I just think the Titans up front offensively, you know, what's the ceiling for the offensive line? Is Taylor Lewan going to be back and fully healthy and stop having stuff? I mean, he came back from the ACL. He had the toe, and then he has a concussion. Can he go on a run and get into form? Can Roger Saffold stay healthy and round into form? And that left side be that what they have been the last couple of years at times, which is just really good. Nate Davis really struggled early. I feel like he's starting to kind of round into form too. Like, if that offensive line stays healthy and gets it going like they have in each of the last two seasons, then I think, you know, that offense, and, you know, we don't know with Julio either. I think he's going to be kind of a week-to-week thing and play some and practice some and whatever. But, you know, A.J. Brown looked like A.J. Brown. If that's the case, then I think the offense could be really dynamic in what we thought it might be going into the season.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. And I was going to mention Nate Davis before you mentioned him. You know, he didn't really play well the first couple, maybe 3-4 weeks of the year. But like you said, he's starting to round into form. And he's playing the football that many thought he could play after that real good year that he had last year. That's encouraging from the Titans side of things. Before we move on, you know, from Titans, Colts, and get into the last thing I want to talk about with you. Well, not talk about, but you'll find out once we get there. I wanted to talk to you about maybe that linebacking core, you know, the inside linebacking core specifically, because it's a little bit of a intriguing situation that's developing there. You know, David Long has sort of came on, you know, in the midst of Jayon Brown, you know, dealing with injuries. He's played real good football. Sean Evans didn't have a good first 5 weeks of the year, but six weeks. I'm counting wrong. But fact of the matter is that he's had a real good last two games against the Bills and Chiefs. You know, with Jayon Brown, he just got activated off IR. He's set to return, you know, whenever he can. So where do you see, or how do you see this linebacking inside linebacking core shaking out in terms of snaps, you know, when they have Jayon Brown, when they have David Long, and when the Titans have Rashawn Evans, whom the staff, you know, they've said a lot of, you know, they praise them a lot and they put a lot of faith in them. So how do you see this linebacking core shaking out, you know, snaps wise?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that depending on matchups, I think we could see Brown and Long. I mean, Long to me can't come off the field. He's too good. He's everywhere. He does everything well right now. And he's quick and he's instinctive and he tackles great. So, I mean, I think he's the it's interesting, you know, obviously he was the third guy forever. And now he's the guy I think that you can't take off the field. And I think like last week they had a healthy Jayon Brown. To me, that's a better duo, Brown and Long, against a team like that, you know. Now in a game like this, this is a Rashawn Evans game. I mean, this is a team that's going to try to run right at you. And this is where Rashawn Evans and what he does well when he, you know, is making the proper reads and fits and everything, he can be very effective. So I do think, I mean, that was a great play by Evans to you know, run, you know, just keep running toward the ball and you get rewarded with a pick, you know, on the tip drill. And I feel like he's kind of played a little bit better lately, but I definitely think if Jayon Brown is fully healthy, that could be a nice, versatile combo of guys who can do a lot of different things. And both are very instinctive, smart players. And it's just with Evans, he just seems to be, you know, a half second too slow to see something or whatever, you know, because I mean, obviously I think he has all the physical ability in the world.
Yeah.
The other two guys to me, you know, they just have a knack that he doesn't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's probably the most accurate thing you could say about Rashawn Evans. I mean, super, super athletically gifted. I mean, he's tall, he's lean, he's strong, he's pretty fast for his size. And he's, you know, he's a guy that you would want out on the field. The mental thing of the game is just sometimes, you know, just doesn't catch up to it quickly enough to make those plays and look like the first round pick John Robinson thought he was getting, you know, I believe in 2018. So it'll be a real interesting situation with that inside linebacker core, you know, when Jayon Brown gets healthy. How do they deploy those guys? You know, who comes off the field, who stays? It'll be a real intriguing thing to watch develop. Game pick for this game, Joe, Titans, Colts?
You know, I think the Colts are desperate. They have to win this game. They're at home. They're coming off a big win. I think they're going to get it done. I think the Colts win. I'm going to go 24-21 Colts.
Yeah, that, you know, it's on Halloween too, Halloween Day. You know, it's not at night.
That's right.
The environment isn't as rambunctious as maybe a Sunday night game would be. It's Halloween. You know, creepy energy. I don't know. This is a weird game for me to pick. I'll go safe here. I'll go Titans, maybe 24, Colts 21. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts won based off the facts that you just mentioned. So it'll be a real interesting game for sure. Joe, we're almost at the end of the show. This year, me and Eric have started doing a thing for both of us and guests who come on. We give guests and each other 2 minutes to ramble about a take, whether it's sports or anything that's related to them and that's interesting to them right now. So if you have a take or anything you can ramble on about, I'll give you 2 minutes. Let me set up this timer. You got your take? You got you ready to go?
No. Gosh. Yeah, I mean, so when you do this, how often are people ready? They're just ready. They got one ready to go. Because I'm
pops off their head, man. Doesn't really matter. It just pops off their head.
Well, I mean, I will say that, you know, I think this has been a bad week for the NFL. And you know, look, I mean, you know, the Deshaun Watson stuff. I mean, I think that is a, you know, that's a sticky topic, but like this whole thing with the Washington football team saying that, you know, saying that, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here. No, you're fine. But saying that, that they wanted to be kept anonymous, and then, you know, these employees come out and they're like, here, put a camera on us. Let me tell you that, they, you know, they wanted anonymity. They also wanted a written report, which, of course, you know, we're going mafia here in the NFL. Like, they're just going to speak everything and not put anything down on paper. It's just, it's ridiculous. They look stupid. They look tone deaf again, as always. And, you know, again, like these people wanted Findy's release. They wanted some real teeth to this. And Goodell is saying that, you know, that Daniel Snyder has been held accountable, which is to me just laughable. So it's just another, I mean, this whole thing with Gruden, you know, whoever decided to leak that had to know, and maybe they didn't care, you know, because I don't know how it all went down, but that now we're going to revisit Washington football team, you know, and what the heck, and what other emails and all this stuff. And so it's like a little Pandora's box been open. It's just another example of Roger Goodell mishandling something. I know sometimes really he just takes the hit for the owners. It's really the owners who are the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Cal McNair making a racist statement at a golf event. It's just, it's a lot of the same crap, and it's really them, and Goodell is just the guy who has to be their stooge, but it's embarrassing.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting thing that you brought up. And it sucks because this is probably a situation that's probably not going to be fully let out to the public just because of the ramifications and the PR nightmare the NFL would receive. The NFL hasn't had a PR, you know, disaster. You know, I classified the whole, the first onset of domestic violence stuff with everything. And that's probably an absolute, you know, nightmare. That's a nightmare. But I think if all these things got released to the public, I think the NFL would probably undergo a PR disaster they haven't seen probably ever, in my opinion. So yeah. It sucks, but maybe the NFL will do the right thing, you know, own up to what they've done wrong. But we know what the NFL does. They don't do that, and they probably never will, which sucks. But
yeah,
hey, that's life. Joe, I really want to thank you again for coming on. Really appreciated you coming on here, previewing some, you know, some decent NFL action that's on tap for tomorrow and the rest of the weekend, and it's early next week. So before we get out of here, just want to give you one last chance to plug your stuff where people can find you on Twitter, where you write your things, whatever, and then we can hop up on out of here.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Trajan. Really appreciate it. Yeah, at Joe Rexroad on Twitter, right, you know, at theathletic.com, write a lot of Titans, but, you know, Vols and other stuff, Vanderbilt, Pred, stuff like that. And then 102.5 The Game, 6 to 10 in the mornings, Robbie and Rexroad too. So I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, no problem. Really appreciate you coming on here. Show will be back maybe next week. We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to see on the show next week. Me and Eric are both really busy with class and everything. So once again, want to thank Joe for coming on here, and see you guys whenever we see you guys again. Whenever you listen to this, have a great day, night, and peace out.